Praise the Lord this morning. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. I did, and you did. So he is worthy of your praises. There's somebody in here today that if the enemy had his way yesterday, that you wouldn't be here today. Go ahead and praise him. My God is an awesome God. He is an God. He's better than good. He's greater than great. He's awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Musicians, stay where you're at, because I'm going to ask Sister Harriet to sing a song. I got a couple of announcements that I need. Hallelujah. The first thing I'd like to say is, Shawnee, as your grandmother calls you, Shawnee, it's good to see you, young man. I want you to know that we are so proud of you, that in spite of circumstances with COVID and everything, that you graduated. Hallelujah. When your mom showed me your picture, I didn't know who you were. But God is good. And I want to say to you that if you let him, God has great things in store for you. Can we give the young man a hand? And it's good to see Jamar C. Jr. That's my little basketball. We got this little rivalry going on. We got the Knicks and the Celtics, you know. But it's good to see you, young man. And I'm going to call out a couple of names, and I don't have to say anything else because you know me and I know you, and we had conversations. Amen? Sister Karen, I'm glad you kept your word. Praise God. And Minister Walker, it's good to see you this morning. I know your spot is still waiting for you, but in God's time. Amen? And the visitors that are here, I see some people that I'm not quite sure if I've ever seen them before, but I want you to know that you're welcome here and that our invitation is open and endless. Amen? And we just want to keep some people in prayer this morning, the sick and shut in. I got a text this morning about Mother Irvin. I want you to continue to keep her in prayer. Amen. When the enemy comes after you, it's relentless. And he tries to steal your joy. He tries to steal your confidence in God. But the God that we serve, you see, the God that we serve, he is greater and anything. You know, for you, that you serve will do thing. Doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what is written down on a piece of paper. It don't matter how many people deny the power of God. God can do anything. And the Bible tells me that he can exceedingly above all that we could ever think or ask. And I believe that. And if you believe that, then God is able to do that. Not just for me, but you. Amen? Because in his eyes, there's no big me, little you. We are all the same in the eyes of God. Amen? So I'm going to ask Sister Harriet at this time to give a selection. And it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had a solo, so I'm going to ask her to come on up before I start with the Lord has given me to say this morning.
Testing 1, 2.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. The song said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be today? If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be today? It said he took my enemies away. He let the sun shine through a cloudy day. If it had not been on your side, where would you be today? If it had not been for the Lord God on my side, tell me where would I be? Where would I be if it had for the Lord God on my side? Tell me where. Where would I be if it had not been God on my side? Would I be? Where would I be? He took it's away. Do it. He wrapped me in the cradle of his arms when I knew battle to score. If it had not been for the where would I be? Tell me where.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it had not been, it sounds like there was some divine intervention on your behalf. Amen. And sometimes we need to recognize that if it had not been for the Lord on our side. This week, there's been something resounding in my spirit. Amen. Since we had Bible study. Not since we had Bible study, but since we had prayer on Friday. And the prayer that we had, I told those that were on the line that I heard a cry. And then I heard a praise. And then I heard a release. And when I put the different letters together, I came up with CPR. Amen. And one of the reasons why CPR has been in my mind and resonating with me is because a couple of weeks ago, as I sat in our house, I heard 6 gunshots. Pow, 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 pow. And I sat there and I said, those are gunshots. And I went downstairs to see if anybody else in the house was reacting to it or heard it. I said, well, maybe it was just me. But then I heard a car pull off down the block. I heard a bunch of young men say, run, let's get out of here. And then that was followed by the sounds of sirens and whistles and people screaming and hollering. I walked down the block where I saw the activity, and then I saw the fire department, I saw the police department, I seen all of these emergency vehicles there. And so I walked around to the side of the house where everybody was going to, and I saw a young man laying on the ground. And I seen him just pumping him and giving him CPR. And I said, my God, CPR. CPR is a life-saving technique that is used in emergencies when somebody's breathing or has stopped or their heartbeat has stopped. And I know somebody's probably saying, well, what are you doing there? And they were looking at me like, what am I doing there? But I was looking and I wanted to see. I just stood there for a while because I wanted to watch. And I've been thinking about, in Christian terms, I thought about our relationship with the Lord and how at times a physical and mental and emotional and social and spiritual stress that our souls need CPR. Hallelujah. But I have determined that CPR that we need is C, crying out to the Lord. Is P, praising him in all things. And R, releasing the burden, letting go, and letting God. We learn from Scripture that there is a time to cry. And everybody will cry at some point in their life. The world like to tell, they like to put labels on things and categorize things. They like to say things like, men can't cry. You're not supposed to cry. But in the Bible, you see some of the strongest individuals that are written about. Men Amen. Crying out to God. Jesus crying out to his Father God. David crying out to God. I want you to know this morning, when you feel sad and overwhelmed about anything, the best thing to do is to cry out to the Lord and pray that he will guide you and help you. If you go to God with your problems, he will give you peace and comfort like no other. He will give you peace and comfort like no other. When we look at this world today, I don't think that there's anybody that is not going through something. Amen? My problems and my circumstances and my situations are not yours, but you have something going on. And I'm saying to you, cry on God's shoulders in prayer and allow him to comfort you. Too many times we're crying on the wrong shoulder, expecting comfort, and what you find is confusion. That's why we love the Psalms, because the Psalms is the story of an outcry of a man's heart to God. This is why the Psalms is one of the most read portions of scriptures. You see, other portions of scriptures carry God's voice. Other parts of scriptures give us instructions and principles to men and women. But the Psalm is an expression of the human desire. It is an expression of our fears, of our emotions to God. This is why we always connect to the Psalms. If nobody ever reads the Bible, they should read the Psalm, because in there you're going to find something that's for you. Amen? David knew about tears. He knew about crying. That is why David had a big participation in writing the Psalms. David knew about God often listens to the prayers that he hears through our tears. And many times as David wrote, he was in tears as he wrote. This morning, our psalm is Psalm 56. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He is fighting daily, oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wandering. Thou put my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are unto me. O God, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Amen. God's word has already been blessed. In this psalm, David was in great and constant danger from many enemies, both the Philistines and Saul's servant. And it was a bitter pill for David to have to go out somewhere else to seek refuge from his own countrymen. But in his distress, he cried out to God, knowing that divine help could rescue him from any man-made threat. I'm here to tell you this morning that God can deliver you from any man-made threat. Amen. David appealed to the mercy of God, not relying on what he may deserve or he may not deserve. I need to stop right there for a minute because there are many times people think, and we sometimes think, that we are not deserving of God's grace and his mercy. But the Bible tells me that no matter what you've done, that God's grace and his mercy is for everyone. Whatever you've done, it's already in the past. Amen? He does not hold it against you. So whatever it is, do not let Satan or his minions or your enemies tell you that you're undeserving of favor in your life. In the psalm, David poured out his heart immediately. I want you to notice that there were three kind of terrors that David recognized were coming to him. In verse 1, he said, he oppresses me. Have you ever been oppressed? Have you ever felt oppressed? David says, my enemy oppresses me. Then in verse 2, he says, they hound me. Amen? So not only do they oppress him, but they hound him. Have you ever been hounded by somebody? Have you ever walked in a store and you was going to look for something and somebody kept walking behind you, hounding you, asking you, do you see what you want? Can I help you with anything? And you want them to stop hounding you. Amen? A salesman come by the house and they're trying to sell something and you say, I don't want anything. But they keep hounding and hounding and hounding you. David said, my enemies, they hound me. And then in verse 5, he says, they twist my words. Oh, hallelujah. They twist my words. Don't you know that the twisting of your words is one of the tricks of the enemy? David said, no matter how many are fighting against me, he looked for help from God, who's above all that were after him. Amen? David knew the strategic value of being in battle. Don't you know you were fighting down here? But when you call on the name of the Lord, you're fighting from high ground. You're fighting from an advantage point. David knew that if I fight from an advantage point, God is on my side. I'm going to fight you from looking down on you. Not looking at you. Come on, somebody. David said he was afraid, but then he was not afraid. Some of us need to hear that. He said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. He said, in God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? This is to say that sometimes you can have fear and you can be afraid, but you can trust God. Come on, somebody. Some people think that, oh, you can't have fear because you trust God. No, we're human. We have these emotions. But your faith, but you have the faith, it breaks through the gloom. And then with confidence, declaration, you can call on the name of Jesus because you know that he will see you through. It doesn't make a difference what you've been through. It doesn't make a difference what your track record is. Because at this time that David was going through this, this is the young man who killed the lion. This is the young man who killed the bear. This is the man who killed Goliath. This is the man who was a successful captain in Israel's army. But he still had fear. I'm always a little skeptical of the person who says they fear nothing. Oh, hallelujah. I'm always a little skeptical because I don't care who you are. At some point in time, fear is going to get inside of you. David said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. There were times when he was afraid, yet he knew what to do with the fear. Do you know what to do with your fear? When you fear, do you know what to do with it? David knew what to do with his fear. This is what he did. He boldly proclaimed his trust in God. He says, I fear this situation, this circumstance, but I trust God. In him do I trust. We sing the song, in you, oh Lord, in you. I believe, I believe. Do you believe what you sing? And when you believe what you sing, you are not singing, you're worshiping. Come on, somebody. David feared, but he did not let that fear fill his whole mind because he found some trust and some faith in there. It is possible for fear and faith to occupy the mind at the same time. But which one are you going to let take over? Which one are you going to let control your emotions? Which one are you going to let guide your steps? Faith or fear? And don't let the fear stop before you decide to do what you need to do for the Lord. Some people have a fear of going out and giving tracts or witnessing to somebody and telling them about the Lord. And because they're so fearful of what somebody's going to say to them or how somebody might act, or whether they're going to take the track or not, that they won't do what God has designated them to do. David said, even though I fear, I won't stop doing what I need to do for the Lord. Amen. And then he says, I will praise his word. In the midst of the declaration of trust in God, David calls attention to the praiseworthiness of the word of God. Do you know that the word of God is worthy to be praised? His trust in God was directly connected with God's word. See, David knew the promises of God. When you know and you understand the promises of God, you can make declarations. And in the midst of fear, your faith will overcome and you can stand and deliver and you can face the enemy and the circumstances that are going on around you. But when you don't know the word of God, we say we need the word of God in our heart. Hallelujah. Because out of your heart, things will come professing out of your mouth. In your heart, it will control actions and emotions. Hallelujah. David had the word of God in his heart. He stood on those promises. Amen. They used to sing a song, standing on the promises of God. My Savior. Amen. Standing on the promises of God. Are you standing on the promises of God this morning? I want you to know that David's trust wasn't blind hope. He wasn't in hopefulness. He was in hope because it was based on the revealed character of God and his promises. Can you tell me a promise that God made that he didn't keep? Because God's promises are yes and amen. Nothing can compare to the protective hedge that God puts up around his people. And nothing can permeate it. Nothing can penetrate it unless he allows it to happen. You know, when God puts a hedge of protection around you, my wife and I, we always pray for that hedge of protection around us, our children. Nothing can happen unless God allows it to happen. When you pray for God's will in your life and he put that protection around you, nothing happens unless he allows it to happen. Don't give the enemy too much credit. You give them too much power. You give them too much credit. He's not going to tell you, no, it wasn't because of me. David said, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear. He began trusting God even when he was afraid. When you are afraid, do you start trusting God? When you are afraid, do you start trusting God? He started trusting God while he was afraid. He took a step further. He says, I trust and I don't fear any longer. You could trust and fear. Amen? But he said, when he said that, he made now another declaration. He said, what can man do to me? What can flesh do to me? We're so fearful of man. But I'm here to tell you this morning, when you're a child of God, what can flesh do to you? The flesh, your enemies in the flesh, they could get you fired from your job. But you know what? My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Now let me say this. He owns everything. He even owns the thing that that enemy has who had you fired. So when God lifts you up, something could happen to that person. Not that you wish it, because it's God's will. Whatever will be done, it's in his will. But have you ever been in a position where somebody puts you down, gets you put into a circumstance, and they think they put you under the rug? But God will lift you up and take you to a place that the person that you left, that now you're in that position of exhortation, and you're looking down on them, and they're looking up and say, how did that happen? I know. I've been there. I remember when somebody tried to get my wife fired, and she had a phone. And she had a car, and she had a house to go to. And somebody said, you still got a phone? Yes, because despite what the enemy meant for her bad, God meant it for her good. There are things you're going through right now that the enemy means for your bad, but God is going to turn it around for your good. But you got to trust and don't fear. Don't let the circumstance dictate how you serve the Lord. The Bible says, in all things, in all situations, I will praise the Lord. The Bible says, he prepared a table in front of my enemies. For me, yea, do I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to you? Jesus turns around in Matthew 10 and 28. He says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body. Ooh, Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells me that 50% of something ain't right. So if you're worried about somebody who can only do 50% of the job, which is kill the body, don't worry about them. I'm worried about the one who can do 100%, that can kill my body and kill my soul. God does everything 100. That's how they say it today. He do it 100. They don't say 100%. They say he do it 100. My God does things 100. Whatever you need, you're going to get 100. He's not going to do a half. He's not going to do a half job for you. Y'all knew what I meant. Devil tried to twist my words. David said that the attacks against him were not only violent, but they were devious, with the twisting and the distortion of his words and his intentions. Many a times we're going through situations today where somebody's not attacking your body. They're not beating you down, but they are attacking you with words. They are attacking your character. They are attacking your person. They are twisting around all of your intentions. But God, when he uses you, all the intentions that you have are good. Amen? So no matter what the enemy says, your intentions are good. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? That means when you see your coworker and you see them and look like they're going through something and they need a little prayer and you touch them. Did you see what I just did? Do you know this is a violation in the world today on your job, that you can't touch nobody, that you can't touch their shoulder? And you better not say, can I pray for you? Ooh, hallelujah. That is a violation. And the other enemy on the other side of the office, you know how people look over the cubicle and see what you're doing, and they can't stand your guts anyway, and go running to the boss or the supervisor or the HR and tell them, you know, this person's bringing religion into the office. I seen them touching all over. Twist the words and the intentions. I seen them touching all over Miss Boone. But did that person know that Miss Boone is a child of the Most High, just like ours? So when I went over there and I said, how you doing today, sweetheart? Can I pray for you? He didn't know that it was all right, and how all of a sudden I'm called into the office and I'm got my back up against the wall because I made a serious violation of company policy. David is saying that they will twist your words and your intentions. You can mean good, but the enemy's going to try to make it look bad. Sometimes you call somebody on the phone, just utter a word of prayer or encouragement, and they're talking about what you calling me for. You're not calling because you heard something else. You call because they were on your mind and your heart and your soul, and the Holy Spirit said, call them and pray with them. What you call me for? David said, shall they escape by iniquity? David appealed to God's justice. It wasn't right for these wicked enemies to triumph over him, whether they were Philistines or Saul's servants. But God, David asked God to cast them down. But God noticed that David was miserable. He noticed that he was in misery. He said, you number my wanderings.
You put my tears into your bottle. What does that mean? You put my tears into your bottle. Back in the Old Testament, there used to be a time that when people died and they went through circumstances and situations, people's tears were put into bottles. And that bottle was tightened up and put into the tomb or the grave with the deceased. But David says, you put my tears into your bottle. I'm here to tell you that when you cry out to the Lord, that all of your tears are going into his bottle. If he knows every hair on your head, he knows every tear that you cry and why you cry it. So therefore, when you cry out to the Lord, he hears what you're crying out for. He hears your prayers. There's a prayer that cries out to the Lord. It's a different prayer. There's pain, there's suffering, there's misery going on, and he hears those. And when he puts them in the bottle, that means he wants to make sure that he captures every part of your tears that you're crying out about. When you're crying out to the Lord, don't think that your tears are in vain. Don't think that they're in vain. He knows, and he keeps a record of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David was looking at this, and he was appealing to God, because you know what? When God takes your tears and puts them in his bottle, they are your tears. It's very personal. That bottle might be filled up with tears, but he knows my tears different from your tears. He knows my head, or the hair on my head is different from the hairs on your head. Hallelujah. He knows that David knew that there's a personal relationship that God has with each and every one of us. And then he turns around, this I know, because God is for me. This was the basis of David's confidence, that God is for him. What more could you ever desire in life than having the Creator, God himself, for you? Paul himself says he was able, if God be for us, in Romans 8 and 28, if God be for me, who? Who can be against me? You can try. You could be against me. You could do your best. But if God is for me, it's useless. I've already won. And David turned around and said, in God, he says this again in the same chapter. He says, in God, I will praise his word. The God he's talking about is Elohim. He says, in the Lord, I will praise his word. Let me ask you a question. This is David. Jesus is in the lineage of David. Amen? So why would he say, in the Lord, I trust? Because the Lord he's talking about is Jehovah, and Jesus is the Jehovah. But David, see, God already had anointed David's lineage. Some of us here today, God has already anointed your lineage. It's already done. It's already done. So while you're praying, it's already done. He says what you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. It's already done. That's why you should praise him. Because it's already done. When you praise him, it's already done. And when you praise him, you're telling the Most High servant, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because he came to serve and not to be served. So he is a servant. When you praise him, you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're saying, God, I knew you was going to do it, and you've done it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. No matter what the circumstance, it's already done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I thank you, Lord, because it's already done. And after you do that, you've already released it. All your burdens are gone. It's already gone. It's released. Amen. After, while you're praising, that burden goes off. It's released. In the name of Jesus, it's released. You know, so many times we come in here and we already got all of these burdens all over us. But if you praise them before you came in the door, you can come in here and continue praising them because it's released. You don't have to come in here to get released. You think pastor going to release it? He can't. You think bishop can release it? He can't. But God can release it no matter where you're at, because you'll be home in the midnight hour and you'll need releasing. You might not, you don't call me. Call on the name of Jesus. Because there are times that the pastor, can I get an amen? There are times that the bishop, can you say amen? That he's already told you what God has told you. He wants you to know. The Holy Spirit has already given him instructions. There are times the minister that's ministering has preached the word of God, and you've already got the answer to your problem, but you will not submit yourself to the will of God, and things keep going over and over and over again. And then you want to call me up with the same foolishness. I'm telling you, God doesn't get tired of it. Pastor Duke. Sometimes you got to know the number to call. Sometimes it's not mine, and it's not 911, but call on the name of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. When you do that, there's a release. There's a deliverance that happens. When we get to the end of our rope, Jesus will then draw you back into his presence and into perfect peace. How many times have we been at the end of our rope and we said we're going to do this and we're going to do that? But when you call on the name of Jesus, he already knows where you're at. He pulls you back, brings you back into a peace beyond all understanding. Oh, hallelujah. And he gives you that peace. Right in the enemy's territory. You don't have to go nowhere. If the enemy's in your house, you sit right there. If the enemy's on your job, you stay right there. If the enemy's around your car, you stay right there. If the enemy's standing right next to you, you stay right there. If the enemy's calling you on the phone, you rebuke him and stay on the phone. Because he says he will prepare a table in the they need to see it. That's why he says he does it in the presence. He does it in the presence of your enemy. And they wondering how, but you know that the God that you serve, didn't he promise it? The God that you serve is going to make everything all right, right here and right now, and I ain't going nowhere. Sometimes we need to say, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be still, and I ain't going nowhere. Sometimes God is telling you, peace, be still. Stop moving around, running around, getting on a boat, going here, going there, getting on a train, going over here, going over there, getting in a car, going to see this one, going to see that one, getting on a plane. Sometimes you need to stay right where you're at. That's where the blessing is. You run to this church, you run to that church. Thinking that the God there is different than the one here. David says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. He says, I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get a little thirsty. Sometimes we get a little hungry. But I want you to know that in those tears, God was in those tears waiting for David to say those words. In another Psalms, he says, I cried out to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Hallelujah. When you cry out, he hears you. Amen. I'm here to tell somebody this morning that God wants to give you CPR. The devil want to give you DNR. He don't want you to resuscitate. He wants you to pull the plug. But God is pumping you right now. It's pumping your chest, giving you a little mouth to mouth, pumping your chest. And the more CPR you need, the more pumping and violent he's pumping your chest. And he's telling you, wait on me, wait on me, wait on me, wait on me. He breathed a little life into you. He breathed a little hope into you. He breathed a little faith into you. Wait on me, wait on me, wait on me. Don't take that DNR. Don't be telling people, well, I'm not going to serve the Lord because he's not doing nothing for me. He's doing it right now. If you just believe, if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, the Bible says that we need to have patience because his timing is not my timing. Amen? Wait and see the salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to understand, cry, because God knows your soul is overwhelmed. Praise, because when the praises goes up, the blessings come down. Release, for God will not and does not despise your tears and your prayers. God sees our tears. He is moved by our tears, but he has much more than this. He has promised that he will wipe away every tear. He said, not two, but every tear. Not some, but every tear. The Bible says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast cut over all people. And the veil that is spread over all nations. You know there's a veil. There's a veil over all nations. Hallelujah. He says he's going to destroy it. He said, and he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears off of all faces. Not some. You don't need a title for him to wipe that tear away. You don't need to have a whole lot of money for him to wipe that tear away. You don't need to go to this church or that church for him to wipe the tear away. You don't need to be in this country or that country for him to wipe the tear away. He says he will wipe away the tears from everyone, every face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says in the rebuke of his people, he shall take away. The rebuke of his people. I know some of us are going through some rebuke right now. Even in our lives and our kids and our husbands, our wives, we're going through our neighbors, and we're going through some rebuke right now. But he says he will wipe away the rebuke away from his people, from all of the earth. For the Lord has spoken. He said it, and he meant it. Amen. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah. Woo. Don't be ashamed when things happen and you have those tears in your eyes. But have the faith in your heart that God will wipe away that tear. Hallelujah. Church, it's time to release. Hallelujah. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, if the Son sets you free, not Bishop, not that minister you heard on TV, not that missionary, not Washington, D.C., the mayor of New Haven. He said, if the Son, not the sun up in the sky, he says, if the Son of Man, the Son of the Living God, if he sets you free, that you are free. Not just free, but free indeed. That means without a doubt. There's no question about it. No second guessing about it. It's indeed. If the Son sets you free, do you need to be free this morning? Does somebody need to be free this morning? Hallelujah. Because when Jesus sets you free, you're going to be free indeed. When the Son sets you free, there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you're free. When you have dirt, fungus, flies, all kind of nasty little things grow on dirt. But when you clean and you free, it can't stay there. It don't want that. Maggots, it don't want to be around things that are clean. Demons, they don't want to be around people that are free. It's not to say that every time something happens to somebody, you know, that they ain't free in Christ, because, you know, things happen. But when you call on the name of Jesus, he's got to go. He got to go. That's his sign. Call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you need CPR this morning? Hallelujah. Do you need to be free? Do you need to be liberated? Loosened, set free. Something needs to be deactivated in your life. Something needs to be discharged. Something. Maybe you need a religious Christian emancipation proclamation from Christ. Some things in your life need to be demobilized. Are you free today? Do you need CPR? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a prayer for those that need CPR. And after we do that, I've asked the deacon, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Amen. So after I pray this prayer, we're going to take communion with the Lord's Supper. We won't do feet washing yet. But we're waiting. We're waiting. Because we don't do one without the other. But Jesus tells us to use our wisdom. Amen. So we'll use our wisdom and we'll do communion without the feet washing. Amen. And I don't want to get into it, but there's people who don't like to do feet washing. But just like Peter said, you never wash my feet. He said, you'll never wash my feet. He said it to Jesus. Jesus says, listen, if I don't do the whole thing, remember 100%, if I don't do the whole thing, it's not worth it. I am not doing that. Peter said, well, wash my body then. Wash everything. So you can be facetious about this. But when we get to that point that we're able to do it, I pray that you participate. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And if you need CPR and you need a relationship with the Lord, hallelujah, accept them as your Lord and Savior. Bow your heads. Father, as we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you right now to touch each and every individual right now. Father, touch them from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Lord, you know the circumstance and the situations that we're in. Lord, that the enemy is trying to surround us, our children, our marriages, our kids, our employment, our housing, our food, our relationships with one another. But in the name of Jesus, we shall not fear. We rebuke Satan and his minions right now in the mighty name of Jesus.